Amen. Because He lives. Hallelujah. Well, last Sunday, we saw both the healing power of Jesus and the compassion of Jesus in action in His healing of a man who was covered with leprosy from head to toe. This healing reveals both the power of Jesus to heal the sick from any and every disease and His compassionate heart. As we continue our travels with Jesus today, we see His healing power demonstrated once again, this time in the healing of a paraplegic. But as I hope you will see, there is much, much more to the story than just another evidence of the power of Jesus to heal, as if that would not be enough all by itself. The truth, as we will see, is that it is not enough. Healing the sick is a big, big deal. Never, ever to be downplayed or understated. But it's not the only reason, or even the main reason, that Jesus came. So let's look together at this story in Luke 5, verses 17 to 26. To give the story a title, let's call it A Hole in the Roof. Because that's what the friends of this paraplegic made in order to get their needy friend to Jesus. Let's give our full and reverent attention to the reading of God's holy word from Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. One day, as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him, for Jesus to heal the sick. Some men carrying a paralytic on a mat came and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they couldn't find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right smack in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now the Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, the man stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe, and they said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Indeed, they had. May God bless to our hearts and minds this reading from His holy word. Let's pray. Let now the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock, our strength, our hope, our fortress, and our Redeemer. Amen. This story of the paraplegic's healing and Jesus' jaw-dropping statements about His power to forgive are found in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark as well as here in Luke chapter 5. Three words, all beginning with the letter F, come into focus in these verses. Those words are friendship, faith, and forgiveness. We're not going to get finished with it all today, so we'll talk in more depth about the third word, forgiveness, 2 weeks from today. Pastor Chris is on deck to preach next Sunday. But beginning, did you know that? I'm confirming it. Of course he knew that. Of course he knew that. Well, first, this story is a living example of what friendship looks like. Mark's telling of the story includes a couple details that are not included in Luke's account. For example, Luke doesn't say exactly where this event took place. He simply introduces it by saying in verse 17, one day as he, Jesus, was teaching. That's all he tells us about the context. Mark, though, tells us it happened in Capernaum, the town that served as Jesus' home base in the midst of his ministry travels. Jesus was teaching in someone's home. May have been the home of Simon Peter and Andrew. But none of the gospel writers tell us for sure. The other thing Mark tells us that Luke does not is how many men came carrying this paralyzed man in their attempt to get him to Jesus. In verse 18, Luke simply says, some men. So we know it was more than one. Mark, though, is more specific. He says there were four of them. And what you have to love about these four guys was the depth of their loyalty to their friend, their unwillingness to give up when faced with an obstacle, and their willingness to take a risk in order to get the attention of Jesus. Now, you know what they did. When they couldn't get in the door because of all the people in the house, people in the doorway, people crowded outside the house straining to see Jesus or just to hear him speak. When they couldn't get through that crowd of people, they decided their only option was to go up to the roof of the house via an outside stairway. The roofs of houses in those days, most of them were flat. And most of them were made of mud thatch. They figured the only way to get to Jesus was through the roof. So they proceeded to cut a hole in the roof. They cut through the dried mud and the tiles holding the roof in place. And they lowered their friend on his stretcher, right into the midst of the crowd, directly in front of Jesus. Now think about this for a moment. As far as we know, they didn't ask for anyone's permission to cut a hole in the roof. They just did it. Now that's a bold thing to do. They could have gotten into a lot of trouble. They, as far as we know, they could have been arrested for the damage they caused. And who was going to pay to repair the roof? Do you think Jake from State Farm, or Flo from Progressive, or the Gecko from Geico, or the guy from Farmers who always says, "Yep, we covered it." Do you think they would cover it? I doubt it. But these guys cared enough about their friend that they were willing to take extreme measures because they believed Jesus was the only one who could give him the help he needed. That's a beautiful expression of friendship. Everybody needs a friend or friends like that. Everybody needs friends you can count on when the going in life gets hard. This paraplegic was enormously blessed to have not one, not two, not three, but four friends who had his best interests at heart, who were willing to go to great lengths and to think outside the box, who took the risk of being criticized or misunderstood or worse in order to do for their friend what he could not do on his own. They were willing to do anything and everything they could to move heaven and earth, if that's what it took, in order to get him to Jesus. Everybody needs that kind of friend. You do, and so do I. I hope God has blessed you with a friend like that, or friends, plural, that you can count on through thick and thin. If not, I pray you will find this kind of friendship in the fellowship of our church family, or with other sisters or brothers in Christ whom the Lord has put in your life. Everybody needs that kind of friend. We all do. And God wants you and me to be that kind of friend. God wants each of us, in the circumstances and opportunities and limitations of life as we live it, to be that kind of Christian brother or sister to someone. So let me ask you today, is there someone in your life, someone in your sphere of influence, in your network of relationships, who needs you to come alongside and be their friend, their sounding board, their encourager, their advocate? Is there someone you know who needs you to walk with them or even to carry them, literally or figuratively, through a difficult time? The hole in the roof dug by these four men in order to get their friend to Jesus, I think, is a powerful symbol of Christian friendship. The second word I want to focus on today is faith. What Jesus saw when those four guys brought their friend to him was not just four guys making a mess or making a scene by cutting a hole in the roof. What Jesus saw in them was faith. Last Sunday we saw the compassion of Jesus in action. Here, we see faith in action, the faith of these four men and their paralyzed friend. Seeing their faith is the way the New Living Translation says it. The NIV says, when Jesus saw their faith. The Message says that Jesus was impressed by their bold belief. So you see, what caught Jesus' attention was not the mess they were making. It was their faith. These guys, including their paralyzed friend, believed that Jesus could and would do something to help him if they could just get him to Jesus. They believed Jesus would heal him. And you know, whenever and wherever Jesus saw faith exhibited in someone's life, it brought joy and delight to his heart. It brought a smile to his face. And he did miraculous things in response to faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says that faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It's a settled conviction in the heart of what we don't yet see. Theologian F.F. Bruce said that just as physical eyesight produces evidence or conviction of visible things, so that seeing is believing, faith is the organ that enables us to see the invisible order of things, which is exactly what these men demonstrated when they made that hole in the roof. in the very first worship service held in this building 25 years ago, next month, May 12, 1996. Some of you were here. Some of you were here. Raise your hand if you were here on May 12, 1996. And I think some of you who are watching online are raising your hands as well. In that first service, our founding pastor, Dr. Graham Smith, spoke about the meaning of faith. You may even remember, some of you, some of what he said. He said that faith is not the thing that saves us. Faith is not what saves us. We are not saved by our faith. We are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation comes solely and completely from Him. Faith, Dr. Smith said, is the rope that connects us or unites us to Christ, who is our only and all-sufficient Savior. Do you see that? It's by means of faith that we take hold of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that only He can provide. He went on, and I think this is memorable. He went on to describe faith using the letters F-A-I-T-H as an acronym. Faith, he said, means forsaking all, I take Him. Forsaking all, I take Him. It means giving up, rejecting, letting go of all my sins, including the ones I may secretly enjoy, as well as the futile idea that I can ever be good enough to earn God's favor and make it to heaven. I must forsake all these things and instead embrace Jesus as the true Son of God, Savior of sinners, and King of my life. Forsaking all, I take Him. Second, faith means feeling afraid, I trust Him. Feeling afraid, I trust Him. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Psalm 56:3, where David says to the Lord, "When I am afraid, I will trust in You." When I am afraid, I will trust in You. David's life was in danger when he wrote those words. King Saul was out to kill him, and David had fled to enemy territory. Fear was his companion, just as it is sometimes our companion in life. In the midst of that fear, the kind of fear that can paralyze you, David shifted his focus from the circumstances he found himself in to the God who was able to protect him and to bring him through all his troubles. David knew that God was able. He is able. More than able. Feeling afraid, I trust Him. Faith can unite you to Jesus so that fear cannot defeat you. When I'm afraid, I will trust in You. Third, Dr. Smith said, faith means finding another, I tell him or her. Finding another, I tell her or him. Which is what Andrew did after he met Jesus. He went, found his brother Simon Peter, brought him to Jesus, and the rest, as you know, is history. It's what Matthew, also known as Levi, the tax collector, did after he met Jesus. He threw a dinner party and invited all of his tax collector friends to come and meet Jesus in person. It's what the followers of Jesus did after his death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. After the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, as they took the gospel message throughout the entire Roman Empire and beyond. You and I are followers of Jesus today because someone found us and told us about Jesus. Genuine faith is something we must communicate. It's something we must share with others. It's something that people in our world and our community urgently need. Finding another, I tell him, I tell her. One of the original members of our church, Joyce Jackson, who now lives in an assisted living facility in Manassas, once told me of a fourth acronym for faith, built on the foundation of these three that Dr. Smith spoke about 25 years ago. She said, faith means forging ahead, I thank him. Forging ahead, I thank him. Jesus does call us to forge ahead in life, doesn't he? He calls us to keep going in faith, to trust in his sovereign grace and goodness. Because we know that Jesus is Lord, because we know he is sovereign in and over all the details of life, because we know his word is true and his promises are trustworthy, we can forge ahead in life. And we can do it with thankful hearts. We can give thanks that his mercies are new every morning and his compassion never fails. We can give thanks that his grace really is sufficient. We can give thanks that nothing, absolutely nothing, in life or death will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Forsaking all, I take him. Feeling afraid, I trust him. Finding another, I tell him. Or I tell her. Forging ahead, I thank him. So one other thing Dr. Smith said that day that I want to pass on to you. He said that faith is not like gasoline. It's not like fuel that gets used up as you drive. It's more like a muscle that grows stronger when you use it. Faith is not something that wears out or decreases in quantity with use. But when you put faith into action, it actually increases and grows stronger. Just ask those four guys who brought their friend to Jesus what that did for their faith. Faith pleases God. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 6? It does not say that without faith it is difficult to please God. It doesn't say that. It does not say that without faith it can be challenging to please God. No. What it says is that without faith it is impossible to please God. Apart from faith, you cannot please God. There's no substitute for faith. Use your faith muscle. Exercise the gift of faith that God has given you. Put your faith into action. The kind of faith that pleases God is the kind demonstrated by these four men who brought their paralyzed friend to Jesus. The guys who put their faith into action in an unorthodox way, yes, by making a hole in the roof. They had faith in Jesus. They were convinced that Jesus could and would help, and they acted on their faith. And you know what? Jesus didn't disappoint them. He surprised them, for sure, because he didn't do what they expected. He did way more. Which brings us to the third word that begins with F, the word forgiveness. Jesus did not just heal the paraplegic. He did heal him. But that's not all Jesus did. Nor is it even the main thing Jesus did. Now, the four men brought their friend to Jesus to be healed. He was paralyzed from the waist down. He couldn't move his legs. He couldn't walk. It was obvious to everyone who had eyes to see that what he needed was to be healed. But what was the first thing Jesus said to him? It was not, get up and walk, you're healed. No. What he said first was, friend, your sins are forgiven. His first word to the man on the stretcher was a message of forgiveness. And you see that this declaration by Jesus sets off a chain reaction of outrage and objection from the religious leaders. Devout, sincere, law-abiding Pharisees and teachers of the law of Moses who've come from all over Galilee and Judea and even Jerusalem itself to check out Jesus and his teaching. They know that ultimately the only one with the power and authority to forgive sins is God and God alone. If Jesus is claiming this authority for himself, he must be claiming to be God. You know what? They're right. The religious leaders are right. They get it. They see the connection between forgiving sins and the deity of Jesus. Problem is, they reject the claims of Jesus without bothering to investigate whether they might really be true. That's their big mistake. The efforts of the four men to get their paralyzed friend to Jesus, the presence of faith that Jesus recognized in all five of them, and the healing of the paraplegic are all vitally important elements in this story. But the core message of the story is the authority of Jesus to forgive sins. That's what it's all about. To their eternal loss, the religious leaders of Jesus' day just couldn't get their arms around it. We'll talk more about this in a couple of weeks. Last Sunday, I said that Jesus is in the compassion business. He's also in the forgiveness business. Like compassion, forgiveness is a way of life for Jesus. It's the reason he came. It's the reason he suffered and died and rose again from the dead. What Jesus saw when he looked at the man on the stretcher who had just dropped in through the hole in the roof was not simply a guy who couldn't move his legs. What Jesus saw was a person, a whole person, whose greatest need was the forgiveness of his sins. A man who needed healing from the spiritual paralysis of sin in his life. Which, you know, is what Jesus sees when he looks at you and me. Whatever challenges or problems or obstacles you may face in your life, whatever illness or setback or disappointment you may suffer, Jesus knows that the greatest need in any life, including yours and mine, is to be forgiven and restored to a right relationship with God. Which is why Jesus came. In your life, I hope, I pray that you've experienced the forgiveness of sins that only Jesus can provide. I hope you know the freedom of being forgiven. If not, Please hear me when I say that forgiveness and the freedom it brings to your soul, to your conscience, to your life, are available in and through Jesus. You can let Him set your heart free today. Friends, may you know the blessing of true friendship, the joy of faith, and the freedom of forgiveness in your life. Lord, let it be so in us. Amen.